like when I eventually pass away, I want them to be able to look back and say how much I helped them, but also look at the work that I did and be proud of that.
I believe in something different. I believe that we need to recognize the work that we put in, the day-to-day disciplined, consistent steps we take to be a little bit better for ourselves.
I think a lot of people define superpower as something that gives you power, meaning it's beneficial to you. And I like to think of people's superpowers as what's beneficial to others.
If you think about what do I leave, right? I want to leave legacy. When life gets loud, it's not the noise that breaks us. It's the weight of everything we haven't paused to feel. Overwhelm isn't weakness. It's a signal for clarity. And today, we are learning how to find it. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dr. Christiana. And if you've ever felt stuck, tired, or feel like you're running empty, this conversation is for you. My guest knows what it means to operate at a high level and still hit a wall. He's a former professional athlete turned leadership and performance coach, the CEO and founder of Effort Over Results, where he helps leaders and teams shift from result-obsessed cultures to effort-driven ones. He's also an ICF-certified coach, keynote speaker, and host of the EOR podcast. Quinn Magnuson, welcome. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you very much, Christiana. Love to be here.
Yeah. So we'll get started right away. In our last episode, we talked about how we can use curiosity to get unstuck. And today, we are exploring what is it when curiosity is still there, but when your energy is gone. So let's start light. Overwhelm to me feels like, how would you finish that sentence?
I gave this a lot of thought. And I think overwhelm to me feels like quicksand. It feels like you're drowning in quicksand and you're struggling and you're actually trying to work harder to get out of it. But we all know that when you work hard in quicksand, it actually sucks you in deeper. And so I think overwhelm, much like quicksand, means you need to actually calm down, slow down, and take deliberate, prioritized steps. But that overwhelm, it feels like your whole world is out of control, mm-hmm. and you're digging and you're trying to pull yourself out of this quicksand, and you end up sort of just sucking yourself deeper into it, when you really should be trying to calm your mind, calm your body, and come up with deliberate, quick wins to slowly work your way out.
I love that. And of course, for me, last show, if you haven't watched it yet, all about curiosity, this one sounds like it's going to be a lot about calm. Mm-hmm. So on focus, and the seas are just moving and grooving. So what is one recent moment when you noticed your capacity, it's another C word, snap back, when you actually felt yourself reset?
I get my resets from that overwhelm. I get my reset from actually getting away from the overwhelm. And what I mean by that is changing my environment. Mm-hmm. Often it's just getting outside. Sometimes it's just even changing the room in that I'm in. But for me and for my wife where we live, it's getting outside. It's going for a walk. It's calming my mind. And there may not even be any words spoken during that time, mm-hmm. but that's really when I get a good reset. And I think sometimes I fight that. There's a resistance in me that says, no, I'm going to stay at my desk and keep working. And then she'll pull me away, or I'll finally just say, no, I need to take time for myself to come back more energized. And so that's really what does my resets for me. It's taking a few minutes. It could be a breathing exercise, but it's most definitely getting activity. And that means get physical activity and just going outside, going for a walk, changing environments.
Oh, I love that. And it's actually so fitting to the whole petite practice, because it is a very small step, but it leads to big impacts. And at the same time, overwhelm actually tends to shrink our world, mm-hmm. to where we feel small will expand it again. And let's start where we always do. What would you say is your superpower, Quinn?
I think a lot of people define superpower as something that gives you power, meaning it's beneficial to you. And I like to think of people's superpowers as what's beneficial to others. Mm-hmm. And my superpower has always been, because my family is the most important thing in my life, but my superpower for others has been helping others get better. So it was coaching in amateur sports, my kids and everybody else's kids. It is being a teacher for 5 years. It was owning my own company for 5 years and growing those employees up and out to better things. And now with EOR, it's helping teachers, it's helping coaches, it's helping educators, employers, parents even, really learn how to just take things a little bit slower. And so my superpower is helping others understand really where they can improve. And that's what I get my most passion from and my most joy from, is helping others get better.
Mm, very good. So when you are overwhelmed, how do you use that superpower?
Well, it doesn't always manifest itself in the best way, because when you're feeling that overwhelm and you want to help others to try to fix that, mm-hmm. it sometimes looks and feels a lot like control. And it feels like me trying to control others so that my life feels in control. But I think the best way I could say the two work together is that, as I mentioned before, that quicksand feeling, that feeling of fighting really hard to try and get out of the quicksand when I need to slow down. The superpower I have of helping others is also now turning those messages back to myself and saying, okay, what do you need to do in this moment to bring yourself back to balance, and then to be able to once again take steps forward to help others? So that superpower of helping others, I've also learned now how to use it for myself, because then it's not just all about controlling others. It's about allowing them to be themselves, asking them good questions, being curious, mm-hmm. and just getting them to figure it out on their own. And that's what makes me feel better and often helps me out of my overwhelm.
Mm, beautiful. Yeah. And of course, if you think about overwhelm, it has many different layers. And you mentioned a few of those in your response right there. So for instance, signal, which is we get too many inputs from all over the place. We just feel there's constantly signal, and it's leading to that overwhelm. Another layer is structure. And you mentioned that as well. When we just don't really have a very clear container, and we feel overwhelmed because of lack of structure. And then lastly, it's when your voice kind of says, I should be much further along. And where am I? Were you really hard on yourself? So which one hits you the hardest right now? And how do you notice that in your body? Is it more the signal, or is it more the structure?
I'm a big fan of structure, and that's the control part of me. But I think I understand when you talk about signal, it's like where you're feeling it, either in your head or in your chest or in your stomach. I do feel that. And actually only in the last few years I've learned through other practitioners on how to understand what those mean. And for me, it's often in my chest. I feel that the overwhelm in my chest and in my upper body area. And then that requires then once again for me to take a step back. And often what I do in that moment is I do a quick inventory of, okay, how is work going? How is the family doing? And then prioritizing, there's the structure. Then the structure comes in on how to prioritize what's the most important thing to do right now. Instead of trying to do 20 things, let's do one thing and get that little quick win to start that movement forward. And so for me, that signal in my chest says, take a break, deep breath, prioritize, and do that one thing that you know you can kind of knock off, get that quick win and feel better.
So it sounds like it's a symbiosis of signal and structure. Mm-hmm. I love that. And yeah. It's actually good that you mentioned that it's always a learning process. So while you might start tackling overwhelm with your structure, you kind of grew getting used to maybe using more of the signal as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that's beautiful that we become more aware that we can use different moduses mm-hmm. to control something.
Absolutely.
So you can't really plan from panic. When you're overwhelmed, sometimes you have to calm down. And it could be that it's even in your room or even in your body where you're feeling you just have to slow down. So before we get really into the productivity talk, let's maybe talk a little bit about that capacity. What three different quick resets that you could do in 5 minutes or less? So I'm going to, especially to the audience, this is a good time to give you like some hands-on experience of how you could use those 5 minute quick resets. First, you could do a breath reset. That means box breathing or just a long exhale. Sometimes we actually tend to hold the breath and we don't even notice it. And then I point it out and you're like, oh, Esther, I was holding my breath, wasn't I? Second, it's called the decision rule. which means you can put two columns together, this week and not now. So having a long to-do list is amazing, but you really need to do all these things right now. Use these two columns. What do I need to do this week? What is it maybe that I don't have to do right now? And then you just circle what you actually tackle today. And then third would be what I call the micro win. Do something small and actually complete it. It's like what the petite practice and the step method is all about. It's praising that small progress. If you clear your desk, maybe you answer three different emails, and of course you take that short walk that you mentioned earlier. When you think about your own routine, which one of these gives you the best return right now?
I would like to say that trying to do those quick wins give me the best return, but I find that overwhelm when I'm starting to get too much in my head, it's because I'm doing too much work. And so for me, the immediate answer is to change environment and get action, activity going, get my body moving, so it's just movement. And once I do that, and I know my wife tells me all the time I should be moving even more, and it's something that I take to heart now, because it's like, I'm gonna stay at my desk and I'm gonna work hard. It's like, okay, I'll go for a walk. And I always feel better because it gets me away, it changes the environment, it clears your head. And I think for a lot of people, it is that change of environment and a distraction, because you get too much, as we say, in your kitchen, in your mind, and you're constantly throwing things at yourself to make it worse. And you need to change environments so that work's not in front of you, so that those things you need to do aren't in front of you. I always feel energized when I come back from that walk. And I also feel a sense of, okay, I've had my break, I've had my treat, now it's time to get back to work. And that's why it's so important for people to practice that self-care. Because if you just work nonstop, you never really truly understand what getting that break is. But then when you get the break, you're like, okay, now I have to go back to work. So it's kind of a reverse motivator. So I think action and movement and getting away from the spot you're in, even just for a few minutes, is probably the number one thing you can do.
Beautiful. And of course, to the audience, you have those three different tips, and maybe even try each of those and see, there might be a day when one feels better than the other. We don't have to stick to certain methods. No. But I love that you mentioned that life can be really overwhelming and a struggle. And if you look back at your life, what has been your biggest struggle?
I think it's sort of a two-part answer to that, because there's my identity as me and myself, and there's my identity as a father and a husband. Mm-hmm. And I've actually had more years, almost as many years as a father and husband as I have been not being a father and husband. So I see two parts to that. So I think the biggest struggle I faced growing up was being in a single parent family, a mother who was trying to raise three children on welfare. And that poverty level feeling of always trying to prove myself, always trying to seek approval from others, always wondering where the next dollar, meal was coming from. And I brought that into my adult life, and my life as a father and a husband. And so my goal as a father and husband is to protect and provide and to make sure that my family is safe. And so the struggle I go through now is I'm only as happy as my unhappiest child. I'm only as happy as my family is happy. And so that's my largest struggle now, is everything I do, even with EOR, with Effort Over Results, with the podcast, all of this brand growth, it all goes back to being able to provide for my family and to help others feel better. And that's what I said my superpower was. So I would say the biggest struggle I face right now, though, is really just continuing to get the message of EOR out there so that it can help others, and not having that imposter syndrome, right? I think that's something that we all face. It's like, how did I get here? Am I the real deal? Will people actually like what I'm trying to tell them? That's what I struggle with probably the most right now, is just that growing the brand and then making sure that my family's still safe, protected, and happy at the same time.
Yeah, so when you think of that particular challenge, what made that season so heavy?
Yeah.
And when you look at your calendar, how do you think there are still probably these moments when you feel really stuck and you look at your calendar and you realize, how do you really overcome those moments?
I think being stuck, and we use that term a lot in leadership, not just for businesses, but just for life in general, being stuck comes from lack of clarity. Mm-hmm. And not having the clarity of what is it that I'm truly trying to do without worrying about what others think about it, without worrying about what the restraints are on that. And I think we need to, and it's very difficult, and it only came upon me in the last 5 or 7 years, of just caring less what other people think, doing what you truly love to do, finding your happy place, right? And I think for me, it's the clarity of knowing that what I'm doing now, after I left my corporate job, and focusing on this, is really what brings that everything into structure and into motion. It's clarity. It really is. And so many people, it's like, oh, I don't know what the next step is. I don't know what to do. And it's because they have too many things going on, not enough clarity. And to follow your petite practice, which is very much like effort over results, just take the first little step. Mm-hmm. Just take that first little step. And I would say, just put your gym bag by the door. You don't have to go to the gym. Just put it by the door. And I think that's what's so important for people to remember, is that whatever you're trying to accomplish, don't look at the biggest picture too soon of what's out there and what the goal and what the result may be. Just decide what you do today and do that one little thing, and then keep doing that so you build habits, and then pick another thing and add that to the mix and slowly move your way forward. That's the most important thing.
It's beautiful. And of course, the petite practice is definitely for me something that even my husband sometimes tells me when I'm overwhelmed. He's like, you are the one that always talks about petite practice. I'm like, oh, that's true. I cannot complain about being stuck, actually. But it happens to me as well. So I love that you're bringing this.
I like when our families bring that back and throw it in our face. It's like my kids are like, hey, Dad, effort over results, you know? And I'm like, yeah, okay, all right.
Yep, I'm right there. And yep. He's like, you're the one that came up with it. It's like, oh, that's true. Yeah, yep. Thank you. So who or what helped you overcome your biggest struggle?
Like I said, I get so much of my motivation and inspiration from my family, my kids especially. Like I want them. Sorry. I want them to like when I eventually pass away, I want them to be able to look back and say how much I helped them, but also look at the work that I did and be proud of that. Mm-hmm. So, and I want my family to be proud of me. That's really what is all of this is about. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work, but I, you know, you talk about work-life balance. It's like, there's really no such thing, because if you love what you do, you're really truly not working. And so what gets me out of that is I think about what I'm trying to provide once again to my family and trying to help make them proud of me. And so that's what really what this is all about.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's leaving legacy, yeah. Right? So kind of like, if you think about what do I leave, right? I want to leave legacy. Yeah, that's really important. So let's turn that into a playbook for someone watching, mm-hmm. Leaving that legacy. What were some of the key shifts you made? It could be in your environment, your schedule, your people, or your self-task.
Well, the key move that I made just this past year is I felt at my previous corporate job, I wasn't growing anymore. I wasn't learning. I wasn't getting any better as a person or in the role that I was in. And the calling in my mind was to go out and do my own thing. And so that was really a huge change of environment for me, was to leave that very safe 6-figure corporate job that, you know, was, you know, awesome in terms of everything that went with it. But like I said, it wasn't feeding me and growing me anymore. And the leadership was taking a turn. And so I decided to make this jump to building the EOR brand and the effort over results movement. That to me was the largest change of environment. It's been a struggle. And for coaches like yourself and myself and all the other coaches out there and the people that are out there trying to help others, growing that business is very difficult. It may look great on Instagram and all the social medias about, you know, look it, I can get you to 6 figures in 1 month. And it's you know what, they're all struggling, because they're all really truly just trying to help others. But change your environment, even if it's something small, even if you don't like where you're living, if you can change that, change that. If you're in a relationship that you're not sure, change the environment, move around a bit. I think that's the most important thing, like I said, activity and movement. Secondly, now gain clarity. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I've made the change of environment. What is it now that I want to move forward with that requires me to be productive and active? choose that and then PT practice, effort or results, small steps towards it, because there's profit in all labor. And so any movement you can make towards that. And I think you'll find that you'll gain more contentment. I'm not a big fan of saying, oh, I'm the happiest I've ever been, because I think happiness comes and goes, much like the waves. I think it's more important to say, do I feel fulfilled and content in what I'm doing? That's where that happiness comes from. Because we've all hit goals we said would make us happy. And then they go by, and then you get to start again. And I think it's important to constantly just be moving forward in any directionally correct, not absolutely correct.
It's beautiful. And I, of course, I also agree with you with regard to this change of environment, because you might know I'm from Germany, Quinn, Canada right here. So it's like, sometimes we just have to search a little bit for what actually feels home and is home. And that might just bring a little bit more of that clarity, that alignment, and the drive of leaving that legacy. So I love that. And we have an episode coming up, audience, so stay tuned. We are going to talk more about that. So when life feels too much, this is my favorite tool. It's called the 24-hour clarity reset. Step one is going to be clear the field. It's going to be like completely tuned in with the athlete in us right now. Write everything down. So clear the field means you just dump your brain onto a piece of paper. Step two, you are sorting the game plan, which means label it A, B, and C. And step three would be one play at a time. Pick one A task and finish it completely. Just get that thing done. And step four is reset the system. So you move, you could go for that quick walk, stretch, hydrate. And step five would be you prep the future. Set up for tomorrow's tasks. The 24-hour clarity reset, look at it in the show notes. And I would love for you to try it. And of course, let us know how it works for you. So whenever you move with intention, one small win builds speed. So with that, effort creates clarity, and clarity creates results, and overwhelm tells you to stop. But progress often starts as a whisper. One breath and one smell step forward. So Quinn, thank you so much for being here today. This was really amazing and reminded us that effort isn't just what we do. It's actually how we show up. And for everyone watching, take one small action today toward clarity. Tell us how your micro win in really turns out with that 24-hour clarity reset. Put it in the comments. Subscribe to the show, because you can't miss what we're going to talk about with regard to home. And of course, we want to celebrate with you. Thanks for watching. Subscribe, and we'll see you next time.